So, it seemed to you that women were doing pretty much the same kind of things they've done before?
Uh-huh, yes.
What about promotions and things?
Oh, yes.
Was there a regular schedule of them?
Later on, I think long about in the 60s, they started, you know, promoting, mm-hmm. Making lead men and supervisors, you know, mm-hmm. different things. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, you'd get promoted.
Mm-hmm. Did, when you were at Lockheed, you mentioned to me in the other interview, our second interview, that you learned more about unions.
Yes.
And things. Mm-hmm. So you joined a union?
Yes, uh-huh. Mm-hmm,
which union
mm-hmm.
was it?
The Machinists, mm-hmm. uh-huh, 727.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how did you end up joining the union there? I mean, did they...
Well, you know, it was people in the plant that belonged to the union. They would, you know, talk about, you know, mm-hmm. try to encourage you to join the union. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So they were the ones that
yes.
talked uh-huh. to other workers?
Yes, uh-huh. other workers, uh-huh.
And
yes.
it was right inside the
oh, yes,
plant.
Right inside the plant. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So what made you decide to join?
Well, because it was firearm protection. Mm-hmm. You know, it was firearm protection because we used to have a lot of grievances. And the union would be the one that would, you know, process the grievances and try to rectify whatever your grievances was about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why.
What kinds of grievances were there?
Well, different kind. A lot of time people would put in a request for a job and they would select someone else with less seniority for the same job that you put the request in for. Because
mm-hmm.
that's what happened to me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. When I put in for area dispatching, and it was an opening. See, I was the next one in line according to my seniority, but they put a man with only 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So then I put in a grievance, and the union they won my case.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So was that the only time you were?
Yes. Uh huh. Yes. Uh-huh. That was the only time.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So. Well, you had been there quite a while by
yes.
that time.
Yes, that's it. Uh-huh. Yes,
yeah.
I've been there quite a while.
It's been almost 20 years.
Yes.
Quite 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so the union handled that.
They did. They did.
So that was around in 69?
Around about 69 it was. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Was there ever a time, I mean, what kinds of things... did the union change in the plant? Were there ever things that just changed for everybody? I mean, rather than on, say, a grievance basis, say, through a new contract or things?
Oh, yes, uh-huh. Things would change through the new contract, you know, for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, mm-hmm. uh-huh.
So what kinds of benefits and things did you get from being the union? I mean, what kinds of things did they work for?
Well... You mean the union?
Mm-hmm. Were there certain kinds of, I mean, I imagine for pay and things.
Oh, yes. You know, at the end of each contract year, every 3 years, you know, they'd always try and get more money, you know, like they're still doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The union would do that. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like up in your areas, sometimes they would... upgrade one person and someone else have been in the same area and they felt like they should have been upgraded too and they would bypass them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then quite naturally they'd go to the union and they'd come and, you know,
mm-hmm.
and fight that battle for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go to union meetings?
Yes, oh yes. Uh-huh. Used to go to union meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Were you ever active?
No, I wasn't active. I wasn't a steward. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But I'd go to the meetings sometime.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Did you, before the
See, we had to vote for our officials and different things, you know.
Oh.
Uh-huh, yes.
So they were like, you'd go for the regular business meetings?
Uh-huh,
maybe?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Did, learn that much about, you learn more, you were saying, about the union after being at
Lockheed.
Did were there other things about Lockheed that were different from North American, or things that were different about being there?
All about the same.
Did you with the bench work, did you ever think about, you mentioned that you moved to the area
area dispatching
when you were not too long before you retired?
Yes.
Had you before that ever wanted to get out of bench work, or
yes, I did. I did want to get out of bench work. And then I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, so then I decided, well, area dispatching. That's because I could get around among all the people. I can tell you, I love people. So, yes, that's what I decided to do. And it was a little bit more in the pay. You know, you made a little bit more.
So that was, you enjoyed that job?
Oh, yes, I really did. I enjoyed that job. It is a pleasure. Yes, sir.
So, when you were working at Lockheed and making this extra money, what kinds of things, did you have plans for that money, or?
Yes. Yeah, buy something for the house, you know. It's always something you needed, so you know, I'd put my money towards that.
When, while you were working, what kinds of things were happening with your family during this period, say, from 51 to 72?
In 72?
Well, between those years.
Oh.
I wanted to ask you some things about your family history. Did, I know that that sometime in there you married Mr. Newsom. How did your first husband pass away?
Oh, yes, my first husband, he passed away in February of 1957. Yes.
So that was only about 6 years after you started working that he passed away?
Yes, yes, yes.
Did, so then you became the sole support.
The sole support, But you see, at that, well, all the children were grown, excepting the baby. He was 8 years old when his father passed. See, there's 10 years between my two last children. See, the next one was 18. You see, and they were taking care of themselves. They were working, you know. And I had the one child. He was 8 years old.
And so, while you were working before during the day, he would be in school, and then your husband would be home in the evening. How did you manage
after his father passed?
Yeah.
Well, my neighbor, she would see after him until I got home. Yes.
Well, what kinds of changes did that mean for you?
Well, it was a big change. See, I had the responsibility of everything then. But then my sons, and they would help me. You know, my oldest son, they were all married. All of them were married. Oh, but the 18-year-old, he wasn't married. But, yes, they would come to my rescue if I needed anything.
Did his passing away, did that, when he died, did that make things difficult for you financially at all? Or?
Well, no, I continued working. I was able to maintain myself. And then Social Security, they sent a boy a certain amount every month. You know, I got that for him, for his care, until he was 18. So that helped quite a bit.
So, how, your children had almost all married except for the
youngest.
And
the, well, the 18-year-old, he wasn't married either. I had two of them.
And they were both living.
Wait a minute, I had three wasn't married. Mm-hmm. I had three because Dennis married in 61. Yes, three.
And then, so you had three children still at home, and the two of them were older.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did now how long was it again then from 57 until the remarriage?
1960.
So about 3 years. That you were.
Yes, a widow.
Did that change your life much? I mean, in terms of your pattern, living.
Oh, it
pattern,
did. It did.
What kinds of things changed?
Well, I tell you, you find out who are your friends when your husband passed. A lot of people I thought were really my friends, but after my husband passed away, they weren't. You really have to stand on your own two feet and just decide that you're going to make it yourself, you know, when something like this happens. There's nothing else you can do. I had decided that I wasn't going to get married again. One day, my supervisor, Tommy Hess was his name, after 2 years it was, my husband had gone, he came to me, he said, "Joe, it's time for you to get married again." I said, "Oh, Tommy, I won't find another Jerome." My husband's name was Jerome. He said, "Well, don't look for another Jerome. Look for someone you think you can get along with." He said, "Because there's no two people alike." I said, "That's right." He said, "Well, just look for someone you think you can get along with. Say, you've been single long enough." He was just a young man, too. So anyway, later on, after he had talked to me, I met Mr. Houston. He came here from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I knew his cousin. That's who he was living with, and I had went to visit her. And that's how I met him. Then we started corresponding 2 months later. That was in 59. So 1960 in April we got married.
So this is, you were also writing letters to
him? No. This was my husband that I wrote the letters to, you know. But but Mr. Houston, he was here in Los Angeles.
Oh, so he was living
here. Yeah, he was living here. No, my husband was the one we corresponded through mail.
For a moment there, I thought that you were.
Yes.
I thought that twice.
Yes.
So he was living in Los Angeles.
Yes.
What's his full name?
Houston, Hugh A. Houston.
And how did you have, you met him through?
Through his cousin.
And did you date at all? Or?
We did. Yeah, we dated.
Had you been, in those 3 years, had you, what kinds of things had you done for a social life?
Well, the only thing I would do is go to church, you know, and, sometime I'd go to a movie, but see, I was working and I needed to rest, so I would try and rest. But I would go to church. That was mainly my social life, is to go to church, you know.
And so you met him. Was he in the same church or anything? Or
No. No, I just happened to go and visit his cousin because I knew his cousin, and she had been ill, and he was there, and that's when she introduced me to him, you know, and that's when I met him over there, not thinking that this was going to happen.
Have he been married before?
He had never been married before.
So you were the first.
Yes, but him. Yes.
So he had had quite a few years of living on his own then?
Oh, yes. Oh, he, yes. Living on his own. And he lived back east. He was reared in Minneapolis, and then after he got grown, I think he moved to Chicago. And he used to run on the road. He was a Pullman porter on the railroad. Then when you retired, that's when he came to, no, after his mother passed, she was still in Minneapolis, and his mother passed in 57, I think, and 58, I think, is when he came out here. Last of 58, he said. But I met him in 59. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he was retired?
Yes. From the railroad, he was. Uh-huh. But he was working here for the, some insurance company on 6th Street. I forgot the name of it. He worked there until he retired.
What did he do at that company?
He was maintenance. Maintenance.
And so he was already working in established.
Oh yes, oh yes. When I met him, oh yes.
Did when you met him, right? He obviously knew you were working. And
yes.
Did he ever voice any opinions about that? Or?
No, he didn't. No, he didn't.
So it was just accepted?
Just accepted.
And then how did you reach the decision to remarry? Did you?
Well, he after we dated a while, the children, when they met him, they fell in love with him. They all liked him and all, and they've treated him. They couldn't have treated their father any better than they treated him all these 20 years. So, well, he asked me to marry him, and I accepted. Then we planned it. We got married on the Easter Sunday, 1960. It wasn't a big, just right after the service. We just got married, and we went out and had lunch, and that was it. I didn't make no fuss or nothing.
Now, how old were each of you at that time?
I'm 70 now. 1960. What is that? 50.
And
He was, let's see, he's 82 now.
So he's about 12 years older.
Yeah, 12 years older than
so
me.
So he was about 62.
Something like that, yes.
And did you keep living in the place you had been in?
No, we bought this place and moved over here in 60, April.
So right when you were married?
Yes, Been here ever since. Yes.
So you kept working at Lockheed until 1972. And were there things that you had by this time that your children, I guess, are getting older? And had you, let's see, by then your oldest is, let's see, 72 years old.
Oh, yes, my youngest one, he was what? He was born in 1949. So what did that make him in 72?
He was born in 49. So one of the things that happened, I missed this now when I was asking the question. One of the things that happened between the time you were, when you were laid off at North American and when you went back to work was that you had?
Yes, this child, he came in 1949.
So he was pretty young when you went back to work. Was he back in 51? He would have been about 2 years old?
Or? Something like that, 49, 51, yes, I went in May, and he was born in February, so that was a little over 2 years over, Well, his daddy was there to help take care of him.
Oh, yeah.
He was a daddy child. Yes.
Well, how did you feel about when you became pregnant this last time?
Oh my! How did I feel? I didn't know what was happening. I'm telling you, that was a funny feeling. After 10 years. But I didn't have any trouble with him. I thought I would have, you know, after 10 years, but I didn't. Normal birth and everything.
I was going to ask you before, this was number 8, right?
This was number 9.
Number 9.
I had 8, yeah, when I was working. So this was number 9.
Was there, Did you ever feel like, well, this is too much, or
Yes, I think I did. But after he got here, I had told him, a friend of mine, if it was another boy, I was going to give it to her. Because I didn't want another boy. And so she believed me. So when I came from the hospital, oh, my husband come on and said he come to get the baby. I said, are you kidding? I said, you should have gotten him before he cried. After I heard him cry, I couldn't part with him. I said, who did you believe I was going to give you my own child? They didn't have any children. So I said, I'm sorry, you can be the godparents if you want, but I can't give my child away. No, sir. Yeah. And then my daughter was home, too, you know. She would help. My daughter, she got married in 51. Earlene did. Mm-hmm. That's right. Earlene married in 51. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, but when she was home, she helped take care of him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What kind of relationship did you have with your daughter? She was the only...
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we still are close, very close. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yes, my only daughter. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you ever encourage her to work or, as you had it, it seems you had gone through and gotten trained and got a job. Did you ever talk to her about that?
Well, no, because after she got married, she started having children. And so her husband, he didn't want her to work either. Mm-hmm. So I didn't encourage her to try to work, too, you know, with the mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. So she never did. She stayed at home with the children. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When she was growing up and you were working, did she ever
talk
to you or anything about...
working? Mm-hmm. She did. She worked a little while in the shoe factory. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. She worked a little while mm-hmm. before she got married. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
I'm getting low again.
Getting low.